The Bible in it. Everybody good? Okay, Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Bodybuilders. So the ushers are going to come down the aisles now and pass out weights for all of you. Not really. Bodybuilding in the flesh is usually an hour or so at the gym. For the believers, it's 24/7. We're called to build up the body of Christ, and that's what we're going to see here this morning. Chapter 14 of the book of Romans, the law of liberty. That means we're set free. We're not liberal, we have liberty, and there's a difference there. God has set us free from a bunch of man-made rules and regulations that have crept into the church. All the do's and don'ts. Yes, there are some things that God tells us to do and things that God tells us not to do. But a lot of the things that people do in churches today are in the flesh rather than in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So that's why we go through God's word so that we can know how we're supposed to worship him. Okay, we've opened our Bibles. Let's open our hearts. Father, thank you for your precious word, which is truth. Oh, how we need truth in a world that's filled with fake news and lies so that we can discern spiritually what is of you and what is of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us in all truth here this morning. Your word is truth. Every crossed T, every dotted I is God-breathed, given by the inspiration of God. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your precious word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a little bit of an introduction about the church at Rome that Paul was writing to. The body of Christ in the church at Rome was made up of both Jews and Gentiles at all different levels of faith, just like the church today. And this is a healthy fellowship of believers here. We have Jews, Gentiles, and we are here through God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit to be built up in our most holy faith. Some at Rome were weak in the faith, others strong in the faith, and of course, everything in between. And again, here in this fellowship, we're all at different levels spiritually. But the all-important thing is that you have your BA degree, born again. That's the most important thing that we can receive from the Lord, because he said you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Some had come from legalistic backgrounds. And oftentimes when I talk to some of the folks here, many of you have come out of legalistic backgrounds. Others came out of liberal backgrounds. So we have a mixture again, some that were under the law, and some that lived lives of licentiousness, which Paul had addressed back in the previous chapters. He's setting the record straight for the church, how we should worship the Lord. As we all know, there are things we all had to deal with in our own backgrounds when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, the do's and don'ts. And many of us would ask, and I still have this question asked to me today in ministry, is it okay for Christians to, you fill in the blank. Some of the things can and sometimes do cause conflicts with different opinions between believers. Disputes over doubtful things. We're going to address that here in chapter 14 of Romans this morning. We as believers, as the family of God, are not to allow these differences to cause divisions in the church. Those things, and we've all observed them over the years, I'm sure, that tear the body down rather than to build the body up. And that's where the title came from here this morning. We are called to be body builders. This is God's church. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. He purchased it with his blood. And we are to build up the body of Christ. What are we to do to be bodybuilders, building up the body? We are to edify one another. And that's going to be the key verse this morning in chapter 19. Notice what Paul writes. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And so edification is certainly important in the body of Christ today. The term in the original language is oikodomeo. I had to kind of break that down into phrases here. Oikodomeo, which in the original language means to build up. We're to build up one another. We're not to be body bashers, body bludgeoners, or body bullies. We're to be body builders. And we've all seen that as well, how churches are in conflict against one another, bashing one another, bullying one another, bludgeoning one another, rather than building one another up. God has the final say in His church. God's word is the final say. Every word of the Lord is pure. Every word of the Lord is God-breathed. It's given by the inspiration of God. And so we're to be body builders, building up God's church. And again, the church is not the building. The church is the people in the building, and we are to build one another up in the most holy faith. This includes building up and strengthening the weaker believers, the brand new baby Christians who are still on the milk of the word, Scripture says. You don't take a little baby and give him a steak dinner. It doesn't work. And we need to encourage the younger believers. We need to nurture the younger believers with the milk of the word. Because eventually, like babies in the flesh, they will begin to consume solid food. And that's true in the church today, spiritually. And so as we now see here in the first three verses, one of the areas which caused disputes in the early church, believe it or not, was food. I know that doesn't apply to us here at Calorie Chapel. We live up to our nickname, Calorie Chapel. Just kidding. But some people struggle with what we can eat and what we cannot eat. As I mentioned earlier, some of the churches at Rome had come out of strict, legalistic, religious backgrounds. So let's look at the first three verses of chapter 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. And so even to this very day, there's disputes over what you can eat and what you can't eat. I almost entitled the message this morning, "Where's the beef?" I have a friend of mine. And if you're a vegetarian, that's cool. But this friend of mine says, if you're a vegetarian, you've made a big missed steak. Just joking. So what is it this morning? What are we allowed to eat as believers? Is it carnitas or cabbage? Steak or squash? Pizza or peas? Pork chops or potatoes? I know, you're all getting hungry. We'll all be going to lunch as we leave here. Here in the church, in America, we don't really dispute over food, do we? Yes, there are some denominations that tell you things like you cannot eat meat, fish on Friday. There's something fishy about that. But in some countries, in some cultures, this can really be a problem. Some people can be offended by some of the things that we eat here in America as believers. Another pun, this would be my last one. You know why they eat snails in France? They don't do fast food. Okay, I'll move on. I'm done. My precious wife shaking her head at me over there going, come on, let's get into the word. Paul says we are not to quarrel over or be divided over issues that are just a matter of opinion. Differences should be accepted and handled in love. Now, I'm not talking about sin, but I'm talking about things that are neutral, if you would. Some people major on the minors. And that's why I am so delighted to have faith in Jesus Christ and walk according to his word, because we have freedom to enjoy what God has created for us. And it's so wonderful to be able to bow our hearts and heads before the Lord and give thanks for the food that he has provided. But again, at the same time, we have to be real careful, if it's someone that's a weaker brother or sister, not to stumble them by what we consume. But the bottom line is, and as I often say, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, okay? Matthew 15:11, red letters, Jesus speaking. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Whoa. You can eat nothing but health food and have filthy things come out of your heart. You can brush your teeth. You can gargle Listerine. You can floss and do all that stuff and still have dirty words come out of your heart, because your lips are attached to your heart. And yet you can get up with morning mouth and garlic breath and all and still say spiritual things, can't you? It's so important to recognize and realize it's not what goes into your belly that defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart. And your food does not go into your heart. Isn't it funny we use the term heartburn? Heartburn is not from the food going into your heart. Heartburn comes from the food going into your belly. And so Peter had a problem with clean and unclean food. If you're with us in the book of Acts chapter 10, remember the sheet came down from heaven 3 times, and the Lord said to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Had all these animals on the sheet. Man, he could have had a barbecue for Pete's sake. His response, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. But if you're with us when Jesus or when Peter denied the Lord 3 times, what came out of his mouth? The Bible said he was cursing. So it goes to show it wasn't the food that he consumed that determined what came out of his mouth. It's what's in our heart. The Lord said to Peter, here's the key. What God has cleansed, you must not call unclean. And God has given us the freedom today to consume meat and pork products, whatever, you know. I do encourage you, though, to eat healthy, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to take care of the temple. Again, in Mark 7:18, Jesus speaking, what enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated. It's what comes out of his heart that defiles him. And so it's so important, isn't it, to realize and to recognize that food really doesn't make you who you are. What does the world say? You are what you eat. No. Spiritually, you are what you eat. That's why we need the milk and the meat and the manna of God's precious word. You are what you eat when it comes to spiritual things. And when we read God's word and we become conformed more and more into the image of Christ, everything changes. The Bible says all things become new, and that includes our language. I won't tell you some of the nicknames I had in my BC days with my language, but it's so important now, and it's such a blessing now, that my language has changed from X to G, godly. And it's so wonderful to be able to converse and talk through the person of the Holy Spirit. But the point Paul's making here is don't major on minor things. If someone eats vegetables, praise the Lord. Don't despise him, he says. Don't judge him. God has received him, and so should you. Love him. And again, it's not what you partake of on the dinner table. It's so important that we realize and we recognize that what comes out of our mouths comes out of our hearts. So important. Don't get in a beef over veggies. I couldn't resist. I know I said I was done, but. And again, I know some people that are vegetarians that make some awesome meals. And again, the same holds true with meat. But we should just give thanks that we have food on the table. Because it has been told or said in statistics that 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry every night. And here we are in America and our pets are obese. We should be thankful for what God has provided for us, be it veggies or be it beef or whatever it might be. So don't get in a beef over veggies. Verse 4. Who are you to judge another's servant? Right on, Paul. To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Keep that in mind. If you're putting someone down, you're not his master. God is. So important. He is God's servant. And so are you. We are all servants of God. What a blessing that is, because greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is the servant of all. And so, again, how sad it is when someone in the family of God, you know, chooses to be a vegetarian or whatever, gluten-free. Oh, well, my problem's not gluten. My problem's glutton. But we have to be very, very careful to love them with agape love, unconditional love. Because you know what? How sad it would be for a relationship to be divided and separated over a meal. That's sad, and unfortunately that happens. I had a friend that was watching someone's house one time when we were in Vermont, and they were part of a church that said you only eat vegetables. And he was watching their house while they were away, this family. He just happened to look in the freezer and went through all of the veggies and got them out of the way, and down the bottom of the freezer there were pork roasts and there were steaks and everything else down there. You know, it's like, come on now. God sees everything. We should seek God's approval and not man's approval. God is that man's master, and God is the one who approves or disapproves of him, it says, not you. And isn't it interesting, man, over the past 3, 4, or 5 weeks in the book of Job, we have been talking a lot about not judging people. Jesus says, do not judge another person lest you be judged. We are never, ever, ever called to judge anyone. And Job had to put up with 3 friends and another guy that came along who were just tearing him to pieces. And again, we're called to be bodybuilders, folks, not to tear people down, but to build people up. I guarantee you there's not a person in this room that doesn't really enjoy being built up in the most holy faith by a brother or sister in Christ. That's so important. God's going to sustain him. Paul says God's going to uphold him. And God's going to make him stand. It's not up to you. But one of the best things that we can do is to be a Barnabas. Barnabas was the son of encouragement. And encouragement means to impart courage to somebody. Because there's a lot of people today that are hurting that need courage imparted to them to stand fast and hold on. To come alongside and give them a hug and give them a kind word and pray for them, whatever they need. We need to be bodybuilders, folks. Another area of disputing came from certain days of observance. Look at verses 5 to 8. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, and he who gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And again, he's addressing Jews and Gentiles. And there were some Jewish legalists in the church at Rome at the time who were new converts. And again, to the Jew under the law, they were to keep the Sabbath holy and esteem not one day above another. Other believers looked upon every day alike. I'm of the belief that I give thanks to God every day, every single day. And yes, I celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day and Resurrection Day and all. And you've heard my opinion on that. Mothers need to be thanked every day. Fathers need to be thanked every day. It's so important that we give thanks to God for one another every single day. And I get bothered by one day of celebration. Yet there are other groups, I won't mention, that have a month that they celebrate their perversion. And how sad that we're not called to esteem one day better than the next. In all actuality, every day should be holy and lived unto the Lord. That's what Scripture tells us to do. Be holy. Live every day unto the Lord. Do you know that every day is a gift from the Lord? Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that every day is a gift because this is the day that the Lord has made and we are called to rejoice and be glad in it. That doesn't mean that we're free from trials and tests and troubles and tribulations in our lives. But well, you know what? My Bible tells me that all things are working together for good for those who love God. And no matter what you have going on in your life today, give thanks to God because he's going to see you through it every step of the way. And oftentimes with the bummers in life come major blessings. And sometimes it takes those hard and difficult times for us to step back and see the hand of the Lord working. So in all actuality, every day should be holy and every day should be lived unto the Lord. Every day is a gift from the Lord and should be lived to please him. I know we're to do all things without murmuring and complaining, and it's hard at times not to murmur, not to complain about what's going on in our day. But that's why God gave us prayer. We're to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. If you're going through a difficult time, keep giving it to him. Put it in his hands. The Lordship of Jesus Christ should impact every day in our lives, every day in the life of every believer. We are truly blessed. For the world, this is the best it's ever going to get for them. But for the believer, this is the worst it's going to get for us. Paul again tells us that the sufferings of this time can't even be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us one day, no matter what you're going through. And again, being in the book of Job on Wednesday, that guy suffered. But yet he knew that the sufferings could not be compared with the glory that will be revealed one day in him. I can't wait to get to heaven and meet Job with all that man went through. We don't live to ourselves. We live to the Lord. Both in life and in death, we are to honor him in everything. Whether if we live or die, Paul says, we are the Lord's. And again, is there any greater thing that can happen to any human being is that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we worship the first day of the week. Praise the Lord. I love Sundays. Sometimes this is the only peace I get is being in the sanctuary with God's people. Because it's a battle out there, would you say? Man, it is a major battle. But it's so wonderful to get together and worship with God's people on Sunday, first day of the week. Yet, Every day we're called to worship the Lord. Every day we can read our Bible. We can feed ourselves spiritual food. We can come to the men's study. We can come to the ladies' study. We can come to Wednesday night. We try to have opportunities for saints to get together any chance that we can. Not 7 days a week because, you know, you guys all have things in life that you need to take care of. But we like to provide opportunities for believers to get together and to build one another up as bodybuilders. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. It's not a legalistic thing. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost came on the first day of the week. We're in his presence 7 days a week. We walk with him 7 days a week. We're to worship and glorify him 7 days a week. I had mentioned to somebody the other day that I worship the Lord every day that ends in Y. Every day that ends in Y, we need to worship the Lord. But sadly, there are those who go to church on Sunday and live their lives carnally and fleshly the rest of the week. It's almost like they do their religious duty. This is not a religious duty. This is gathering together as God's children, God's saints, God's family, and encouraging one another and building one another up and hearing from what God has to say for us that we can be in line with God's holy scriptures. Verses 9 to 13. For to this end Christ died and rose again, and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. I repeat, so then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Not others, but you're going to have to give an account for yourself, your own personal life. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Wow. So here we see now in verse 9, Jesus died for us. Jesus rose again for us, that he might constantly be our Lord 7 days a week. And we will all give an account to him one day. Not at the judgment seat, but as what is known as the Bema seat, where believers will be rewarded for the things that they have done for the Lord in their Christian walk. Not that we do things to be rewarded. There's going to be a lot of things you and I are going to get rewards for that we didn't even recognize or realize that God was going to bless us for that. But we will all have to give an account one day. Those that go to the judgment seat, those that are unbelievers, the Bible says will be without excuse. Imagine that. I kind of chuckle sometimes when I do jury duty and people go up before the judge. And you go, guilty, Your Honor, with an explanation. That ain't going to happen at the judgment seat. They're going to be without excuse. But for you and I, it will be a time of blessing. We won't be judged for our sins because Jesus put our sins away as far as the east is to the west, the deepest part of the sea. He remembers them no more. But we will all be rewarded for the things that we do as believers. And I believe part of what we're going to be rewarded for one day is being a bodybuilder, building other people up, encouraging the brethren. So we will all have to give an account. Jesus died, it says, and rose for us all. So why are you judging your brother? And again, we've talked a lot about that on Wednesday night with Job's three friends and this other guy, this Yehu named Elihu, who came along and was judging Job as well. Because, and this is a rule kind of in our office, who knows about this, that lesson number two in ministry is not to judge people because you have no idea of what is going on in their lives. where they've been, what they've been through, what they're going through. We have no clue. So who are we to judge the outward person when we have no idea what's been going on in their hearts and in their lives? And the best thing we can do, I shared this Wednesday night, is what Galatians 6:1 says, you who are spiritual, that's the key. You who are spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit, go and come alongside a brother or sister that's suffering and encourage them. God has given us all that gift, the gift of encouragement. We need to encourage one another, because would you not agree that there's a lot of discouragement out there today? Amazing. And so why, Paul says, are you judging your brother? Why are you showing contempt for your brother? You know what contempt means? To despise or to scorn. We're not called to do that. We're family. We're commanded. It's not a suggestion, Jesus said. We are commanded to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. We are commanded to love one another through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happens then is you build up the body and you're not driving a wedge between you and another brother or sister in Christ. We will all stand before the judgment seat one day. Paul quotes Isaiah 45:23, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Wow. And so each of us, every knee is going to bow. Believer, unbeliever, make believer. Every knee is going to bow one day. You may say, well, I got bad knees. I can't get down. I got news for you, pal. You're going to hit the dirt one day before the Lord. But you know what? The best way to do that is in love and adoration for him. Every instance I find, including John, who wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ, when he came into the presence of the Lord for the first time, he fell upon his face before the Lord. And I got a feeling, I really do, that that's the position that we're going to assume in reverence, in love for the Lord, as we're going to just fall at his feet one day. And we know the rest of that story. He's going to pick us up and embrace us and say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. I just can't wait to hear those words, can you? Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. Oh, what's it going to be like to have rest for the rest of eternity? It's going to be incredible, incredible. And so each of us will give an account of himself, not other people, to God one day. So instead of you sitting on the judgment seat yourself, resolve the matter. Resolve the situation right now. Don't let the enemy drive a wedge. None of these non-essentials is so important that we would cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall. Be it what day you celebrate, or be it what you eat, what's on your table, none of these things should be a stumbling block to cause your brother or sister in the church to fall or to stumble. Be a bodybuilder, Paul says, not a stumbling block. That's so important. Verse 14, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Wow. Keep in mind, the writer of this epistle through the Holy Spirit is Paul. Paul was a legalistic former Pharisee. He refers to himself as a Pharisee above Pharisees. And he knew, as we also know, that no food, he's writing about here, he knows now that he's a believer, that no food is ceremonially clean and unclean any longer. That's why we pray over our food. Give thanks. The food that we eat is sanctified by God. Just like with Peter, the sheet coming down three times from heaven. The food that we eat sanctified by God, by prayer, as we pray and give thanks to God for the food. Are you thankful for the food that God provides? You've heard me share before. I've been at meals where Christians give thanks for the food and then complain about it. Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Too hot, too cold, just right. You know? Give thanks. Be truly thankful in your heart, because it's not about the food. It's about the spiritual food. When there's a weaker brother, don't stumble them by eating something like if, you know, they're a former Jew, whether or not they're not used to, you know, eating everything and anything. Pork could stumble them. Bacon, you know. We have to be very, very careful not to stumble them by eating pork or bacon or whatever it might be. You know, when you go to Israel, you can't find a cheeseburger because they don't mix dairy products and meat. Yeah. You have a hard time finding a cheeseburger over there. But don't stumble someone by your diet, what you eat. It's better to abstain in love than to stumble a precious brother or sister, would you say? It's better just don't eat it. Enjoy what God's given you. Above the food, enjoy the fellowship that you have, the koinonia, the wonderful love relationship that you have with a brother or sister in Christ. You don't want to stumble somebody like that. And I think we all should feel, by the person of the Holy Spirit, that we never want to ever stumble anybody in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep in mind now, when Paul says in verse 14 that there's nothing unclean, he's not speaking of these matters of indifference, okay? There are plenty of things in this world and in this life that the scriptures very clearly say that they are unclean. And it's not necessarily food. It's behavior. Christians are called to abstain from immorality. The Apostle Paul, just before he writes about the rapture of the church, the harpazo of the church, talks about purity, that we need to be a pure bride without spot or blemish. We need to be ready for the trump of God to sound so that we can get caught up in the air and meet the Lord at the wedding supper of the Lamb. I guarantee you nobody's going to complain about the food at the wedding supper of the Lamb. As a matter of fact, I often wonder, man, what's it going to be like to eat food in heaven? I wonder if they'll have angel food cake. I know what they won't have. Devil's food cake. Deviled eggs. I know. I'm sorry. I'll move on. But it's so important, isn't it, that we edify, that we build up the body of Christ, that we're bodybuilders. But yet, when it comes to the things of the world that defile us and make us unclean, we have to be very, very careful. Pornography, fornication, drunkenness, filthy language, adultery, all of those things. And I know previously Paul mentioned food and wine. Be very, very careful not to stumble someone by what you drink, by what you consume. Because there are weaker brothers and sisters in the Lord, many that came out of alcoholism or drug abuse, whatever it might be, and we have to be very, very careful not to cause them to stumble. Paul is talking about food here, food defilement, not the defilement of sin. All sin defiles. And we have this wonderful, beautiful alarm system within our hearts called the person of the Holy Spirit that lets us know whether something is sinful or not, whether something is going to defile the temple of the Holy Spirit. And again, with the weaker brother, look at verse 15. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Wow. So when you sit down to eat with them, I know it says brother all through here, but it's brothers and sisters. Brethren is the body of Christ. When you sit down to eat with them, If it may stumble them, don't even have it around. Don't have it around. If you're acting in love, food is certainly not as important as building up your brother or sister in Christ, for whom Christ died for. Jesus died for them. Why would you want to stumble them and drive them away from their relationship with Jesus Christ? Be very, very careful. A lot of people today try to justify what they do rather than crucify what they do. Look at verse 17 again. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. I repeat. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so what Paul is saying here is what really counts is not food or drink. Yes, we do enjoy food and fellowship. I've shared many times that the most intimate fellowship that believers can have is the breaking of bread together. Yeah, that's great. But it's not all about food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, many of us in this room have been out to dinner or over to someone's house, whatever it might be, and had a meal, and the fellowship was greater than the food. Oh, of course, you thank them for the food, and we give thanks to God for the food. But you know what? The most important thing is having that joy and that peace with one another, that excitement of a relationship with the true and the living God. And so what a man eats or what a man doesn't eat is not really what truly matters. It's all about a holy life that honors God and that meets man's approval. Look at verse 18. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. And it's not that we're seeking to meet man's approval. No. It should be a sense of not wanting to stumble anybody about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that everything we do would be approved by him. And so the main emphasis in life is righteousness, peace, and joy. And this is what Paul is talking about here. Verses 19 to 23. Can you believe it? We're almost there. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify. There's that word edify. Another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. I repeat, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things, how much is all, indeed are pure. But it is evil for the man who eats with offense, if you have conviction about it. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Wow. So here Paul winds down chapter 14. He points back to all that was previously said. When we see that word therefore, we ask, what is it therefore? And the word therefore points back to that which was previously said. And what he says here is we are to pursue peace in the church. And again, I want to commend this fellowship of believers. There's peace in this place. You guys love one another. You guys are obedient to God's word. You know, it's such a wonderful blessing to be able to be part of a fellowship where people truly love one another. There's peace in here. There's love. There's grace. There's forgiveness. And we're to pursue peace in the church and also peace in the body of Christ. How? By edifying, he says, by building up one another as body builders. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Instead of stumbling them by insisting on your rights, you should pursue building them up. That's so important. Sometimes we have to forsake our own personal rights so we don't stumble somebody else. Well, it's my right to do this. It's my right to do that. Yeah, but is it right to stumble one before God? that one who Jesus died for, and to cause them to drift away or backslide away from the Lord? And what he's saying here is, don't destroy God's work for the sake of food or the sake of certain days. You've heard my feelings on celebrating Christmas. It's not about Santa and Rudolph. It's all about Jesus Christ's birth. You've heard me also about Resurrection Day. Notice I didn't call it Easter Sunday. Easter is from the goddess Ashtar, who was a pagan goddess of sexual immorality. That's why there's a bunny, because of the way bunnies reproduce. No bunny loves you like Jesus. We have to be very, very careful with the days that we celebrate. We have to be very, very careful with the food that we eat. Glorify God in all that we do. And so don't destroy God's work for the sake of food or drink. Yes, all food, it says, may be clean for you, but it might be evil or sinful or cause a weaker brother to stumble. It is better, verse 21, 1,000 times better, to relinquish our rights than to stumble a weaker believer. That's so, so important as bodybuilders. Again, 22 and 23. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he. The term happy in the original language is blessed. Happy or blessed is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves of. And again, if you're eating or drinking or doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. Sometimes even to the point of condemnation. And so we need to make sure that we're sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit and just don't oversee the Holy Spirit's quickening for your own rights, which might be wrong in sight of another person. But he who doubts is condemned. And again, like I said in opening the message, people come to me and say, Pastor, is it okay for Christians to fill in the blank? You know what I tell them oftentimes? Just by asking that question, I think you already have your answer. Why are you asking? You think I'm going to justify what you're doing? I got enough trouble with this guy. That's so important, isn't it? It's better, 1,000 times better, to relinquish your rights. And it's not permanent. You know, you can go home and break out the carnitas or whatever and go for it. That's between you and God. But we don't want to stumble someone else in the body of Christ. We want to build them up. And again, yes, we have rights. Paul says here, we have faith, we have rights. Do you want to be happy? Is there anybody here in the room that doesn't want to be happy? Doesn't want joy? If there is, I want to pray for you after the service. You want to be happy? Don't condemn yourself by stumbling someone else. And it should give us a feeling of condemnation if we stumble a weaker brother or sister. We want to build them up. And that's what I try to do every time I open the precious word of God. Yeah, some of these things are hard that God gives us. But you know what? The best thing that could be done is to give out the word of God to encourage the believer in all of these different areas. And God covers everything, doesn't he? Everything. The Bible says of the Bible that it covers everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. And so for the weaker brother, it's wrong for him if he eats certain things. For he does not eat from faith. It's sin if he does, and it violates his conscience. When God shows us clearly that something is wrong, avoid it. Avoid it. Don't go there. And you've heard me share many times that 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there is no temptation that we face that's not common to man. But with every temptation, God has given us the way of escape. Just like the exit over the doors here. Man, hit the door. If you're being tempted somewhere by something that's going to cause you to stumble, get out of there. Joseph had to run in the book of Genesis. Sometimes we can walk away, but you know what? If you have to run away from that temptation, whatever that thing might be, get out of there. Hit the road. Beat feet. I think it's so important that we Again, when God shows us something that's wrong, avoid it. Resist temptation. At the same time, don't look down upon a weaker brother or sister. I think it's so important. The Bible says very clearly that the more mature men and the mature women are to encourage and to build up in the most holy faith the weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's important for us to do. And again, I want to commend this church because I see a lot of you encouraging brand new baby Christians or those that may be weaker in the faith. Not that we're judging anybody, but we come alongside and we encourage them. You know, we don't look down on them. We're supposed to already be down. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a servant of all. And Chuck Smith always said, the way up is down. You want to become something, become nothing. And that's so important. So don't look down upon the weaker brother or sister. Don't condemn a weaker brother or sister. Don't beat them up, but be a bodybuilder and build them up. Got it? As we close, I always like to give an invitation for anyone here that maybe has not given their life to Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. And the Bible very clearly says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Are you saved? That's the bottom line. And I'm not here to put anybody down. I'm here just to deliver the mail and allow you to receive the greatest gift that any human being could ever receive, and that's salvation from Jesus Christ, forgiveness for all of our sins, and to be citizens of heaven one day. And so if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Today is the day of salvation. Do you know that you know that you're going to heaven? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we're free. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live under legalism, but we have freedom in Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to be bodybuilders, to encourage and to build one another up, would you please? Help us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be sensitive to others that may not eat or drink what we do. That's okay. But may we not be a stumbling block to them. Help us, Lord, to build one another up in the most holy faith. Would you do that, please? And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I don't want to stumble you here this morning, but we have donuts upstairs. Some of you may consider them unclean, but I always tell people donuts are holy. There's a hole right in the middle of them. God bless you all. If I don't see you in the future, I'll see you in the pasture. Have a great week.
All right. Please stand and we'll worship him one more time.